You're listening to Rico and the Man.
Do you think so?
With Rob Traegler and Peter Martino.
Episode 8, Rico and the Man. I'm Rob Traegler, always joined by Mr. Peter Martino.
Hey, howdy, hey.
Here we are, Pete. Episode 8, did you think we'd get there?
I did not at all. I'm surprised we got through episode 1.
Once a time of his life.
If I sound different to the audience, I'm broadcasting from inside the house because it's 100,000 million degrees outside. The shed, although it does have AC, is just not up to snuff for a day like today. I went in there to steal some microphone equipment to put into my office in the house, and the temperature, it was 90-something in the shed. So I just didn't think it was sustainable for as long as you and I can, you know, gab.
Well, is that equipment safe in the shed when it's that hot?
Probably not. I don't know. I've got so much equipment. No, I pulled in.
You're like, I have milk in there.
As long as the milk's okay, I think it'll be fine.
You got all the pets out at least, right?
Yeah, there's no animals in the all fucking right, shed.
There's no living creatures in there.
No living creatures in the shed.
Your wife is like, let me out, let me out.
When the show's over, honey, what did I tell you?
I need some peace and quiet so daddy can work.
Yeah, daddy's got to work now. Daddy's got to go talk about Indiana Jones for the 8th time in a row.
Yeah, he's got to pay the bills somehow.
Not with this, though.
Not with this.
But I'm going to pay the bills somehow. How are you, Pete? Any karate-related illnesses lately? Or
no, thank God. We had it today, though. But yeah, no. I think we're okay. I think
good. You didn't have any panic attacks. You didn't run out of the dojo.
No, screaming,
hyperventilating into a brown bag.
Yeah, it's just karate. It's just karate. It can't hurt you.
It's just not an 80s thing.
Yeah, no, I'm fine. I'm good. A survivor.
He's a survivor.
I will survive. Hey, hey.
Sing it, Pete.
No, that's enough of that. Okay. I am watching a new show though, which has been on for a while, but I just started watching it, and it's Hunters on Prime, which is starring Al Pacino, and they're playing he's kind of like this Holocaust survivor that assembled this group of hunters hunting for Nazis living in America. And it's really good. I don't know if you saw it yet, but
that's the one on Amazon that's been out for some time now, right?
Yeah. It's been out for, I want to say, at least a year. But it's a good show. It's got a very Tarantino vibe to it, a la Inglorious Bastards.
Violence.
Yeah, violence. But it also has like that quirky, like Tarantino sense of humor thrown in there. And Pacino's actually really good in it.
What makes it so good? Is it just the whole action element? I mean, it seems like an Inglourious Basterds type situation.
Right, but it takes place in the 70s, so it's a little bit more contemporary. And it's actually based on true events. So they, America.
I didn't know that.
America really brought these Nazis in. It was called Project Paperclip or Operation Paperclip. And they actually brought all these Nazis in that kind of helped the U.S. They helped us get to the moon, and they just kind of like snuck in and kind of just ingrained themselves in the American culture without a lot of people knowing it. So the whole premise of the show is, you know, the Pacino and his group of guys go out and hunt and find all these people. And each person that they hunt kind of have a personal connection to each one in their group. So it's just kind of like, it's more of a personal thing than just like, let's kill all the Nazis. Anyone we can find.
Special emotional connection to who they're after.
Yeah. So they have to be a little bit more noble in their killing than just, you know, killing everybody. But that's a thing. They're trying not to get too crazy because some of the characters are getting too crazy with their with their killings. So, but yeah, I recommend it. And
you haven't finished it though.
I haven't finished it. I still have a couple episodes left to go, but it's the feel good show of the summer.
Is it a one-off or?
I think it's renewed for a second season. When I'm watching the show, I have so many questions about it and I want to read up about it, but I don't want to read up about it while I'm still watching it, because I'm afraid I'm going to get like major spoiler.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I feel like there's two types of these series now on Amazon and Netflix. It's like the one that wants to tell a story and the one that wants to keep the lights on, like Ratchet, for example. Mm-hmm. I watched that with my wife and it was forgettable. But, you know, of course, it had that ending that like where every character makes a weird ass decision so they can just tease a second season. And it's like, if you're going to take me on that ride, don't just like fuck everything up at the last minute because you're hoping people will be like, I need to see more.
Yeah.
Don't like, if toy you have a story to tell and you can tell it in one season, do it. If you have a story to tell multiple seasons, do it the right way, but don't at the last minute in the last season have every character go, oh, you know what? I'm going to run away with you, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to kill some guy for no reason. Like, and so there's fallout. It's just, it's a little annoying because it's dangling a carrot all the time with certain TV shows.
Yeah, like there's a point where the show has to deliver like some information, you know what I mean?
Deliver or end, yeah.
Yeah, they can't just be like, is this character the grandfather of this character? Find out next season.
Find out next season on Ray Donovan. What?
Yeah.
Speaking of TV shows and, you know, IP we were talking about last week, and mm-hmm. the whole like just trying to figure out whatever the fuck we can remake, redo, reboot. My favorite headline right now is that Rob Zombie's making a Munsters film.
A film or a series?
A movie.
Okay.
A Munsters movie. I think it's a movie. I don't think it's a series. I think it's just a movie, but
does Herman kill Lillian in this movie?
This is what I was going to say. I mean, we all know the Munsters. We all know the classic black and white series that made no sense. You know, Frankenstein was the father. Who was the wife?
She was kind of like a witch.
Kind of like a witch. And then you had a kind of a vampire grandpa. Al Lewis. But stupid to begin with.
Well, funny. It came out of that era of funny. The Addams Family and Bewitched and all those supernatural sitcoms.
Sure. What was Eddie Munster?
He was a werewolf.
So Frankenstein fucks a witch. I'm trying to work out the math in my head.
Are you really trying to create logic out of the Munsters?
Well, have you ever seen a Rob Zombie movie? I'd like to see what he creates out of that. It's probably going to be like, you know, like, hey, it's the Munsters. And then someone's going to get like their anus ripped out from their body.
You know? I know.
Grandpa Al Lewis, and he's wearing someone else's face. You know, it's like, what is Rob Zombie going to do?
And why is Michael Myers there?
Right. I just, every Rob Zombie movie is disgustingly over the top as far as just violence and disturbing imagery. And that's mm-hmm. not the monster. So I'm very curious as to what that's going to be.
Well, I thought it was like, even with Seth MacFarlane, when they were talking about him doing the Flintstones, the new Flintstones show. You know, I mean, Seth MacFarlane is funny, and if he has his own show, he has the freedom to do whatever he wants, but to do it in that kind of family-friendly constraint and legacy of the Flintstones, like, how would he be able to do that?
Well, it probably would be no fun for him, you know? It's not the same sensibility.
Right.
And they probably would have made it uncomfortable, you know? Yeah, it probably would have been some ways. More Flintstones Family Guy type.
Yeah, well, that's the question. Like, how much freedom would Hanna-Barbera go give Seth MacFarlane? And, you know, how much of that would Seth MacFarlane take? It's one of those age-old questions that will never be answered because the show is not happening.
Well, no, it's not happening. But speaking of television, very special situation we have going on here. On our phones to discuss all things
Loki and Marvel, is our biggest fan, Mr. Frederick Slack.
What?
It's a pleasure to hear you. It's an honor and privilege to be on with you guys this evening.
We love having you on.
Loving the Loki series.
Yes, yes. Let's actually talk about it this time. So you're digging it.
I'm really liking it. We see Loki, you know, display emotion, like in episode one and episode two, mm-hmm. which we've never seen that before. You know, and of course, Lady Loki at the
yes.
end.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. You know? Lady, I might have been the only person sitting there going, who the fuck is that? Like when she came out, I wasn't even thinking about Loki. I was like because the way they made the reveal, it was like I was supposed to know who she was in a way. Like, was she from I'm a Marvel cinematic nerd, so I was like, who is this? And then like I go on Twitter and they're like, it's Lady Loki, and I'm like, oh cool.
I have to be honest with you, I was a little confused too, especially, you know, Lady Loki was talking through the other individuals.
Right.
I'm saying, no, wait a minute. This is Lady Loki? No, this is Lady Loki? Or is she ship-shaping? You know, it was a little confusing. But, you know, I'm thinking what's going to happen is, you know, the Lady Loki went into, you know, with each attack of the Timebarian soldiers, she was taking a time reset.
Yeah, the reset charge.
The reset charges. And I think what's going to happen is, you know, she set them all off at the end, creating the mass confusion, you know, for the TVA. You know, see them at the end where they're freaking out and they're all, you know,
yes,
going about it. And I think it's just a cover up to, you know, there's something bigger that she's using this as a diversion.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
That's my feeling on it.
And do you think that she's going to be the cause of the multiverse?
Yeah, I think that, you know, it's tied directly into the, you know, Doctor Strange movie, because I believe that's what the movie's called, Multiverse of Madness, I believe.
Correct. Mm. Yeah. Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness.
Very interesting.
Directed by Sam Raimi, which I'm excited about.
Yep, and we know that Scarlet Witch is going to be in there. And, you know, the Scarlet Witch is like she's the main nexus. You know, she has control of future events and, you know, harnesses a lot of the universal mystical energy.
Absolutely, so, yeah. No,
so,
she's...
Yep, so she's going to be a big part of it too. So it's really interesting. I'm really getting into it. You know, the ratings have been good. I've seen on Rotten Tomatoes, they gave it a 96%, and IMDb a 9.1 out of 10.
I think it was the highest rated.
People are liking it.
Yeah, the most viewed, the first episode on Disney Plus.
I'm going to tell the two of you guys a secret, and this is between you and I.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
If I was a woman, I would definitely want to have Loki's baby.
Loki Slack. Loki Slack.
Loki Slack. It's a
slack. You see a little Loki Slack with horns.
There you go.
I think that would be pretty cool.
Wow. We got an exclusive.
He is charming. He is charming. I have to agree to a point. I don't know if I'd let him have our baby, but no, he's...
Well, Rob, even if it didn't work out, just think of the alimony you would get in child support.
There you go. as guardian rubles.
Right. Yeah,
right. So look at it on that, you know, on that timeline, so to speak.
What's your favorite Marvel movie?
I liked Thor Ragnarok the best.
That's a good one. Yeah.
That's a good one. Yeah. That's a fun one.
I like that one the best.
I can't debate that. It was such a refreshing movie, but when it came out.
I wasn't a Black Panther fan, Ant-Man, Wasp, not too much into that. Loved Iron Man, all the Iron Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I'm confused, but also excited to see where they're going to go with this whole thing. Are we going to get tired of it? Are we going to get MCU fatigue?
Yeah, they're just setting it up to go, I think, into their next phase. You know, just like when Loki opened the drawer and saw the, you know, all the time stones in there, and they were just, you know, quote, paperweights.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of like Marvel's way of putting that stuff to bed, you know, that it's not going to be like that anymore.
Yeah. If you, you thought this was a threat, just wait.
Right. You know, I also think that I have a funny feeling too, that the timekeepers, don't exist at this point, you know, because Mobius doesn't see them, has never seen them in their, you know, in his entire employment. And it seems like just the, you know, the one judge and a couple other judges supposedly have.
Right.
So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we find out that they don't exist and there's some kind of, you know, other ruling factor here.
It's very possible.
It's kind of like, you know, all you see is the statues, the three statues, you know, the images, you know, just like in The Wizard of Oz, right? The Wizard of Oz, all you saw was the smoke and the fire and the big old bald guy. You know, there's this little old dude behind this, you know, curtain, you know, making it. So, I think it's, I don't know. That's where I'm thinking it might go. I'm curious to see where it goes next episode, you know, with Loki, you know, chasing after Lady Loki.
Yeah. I didn't know he was going to go after her. I thought that was interesting. I was like,
I had a feeling he was going to go in.
So is he going to, you know, do good in order to come back and, you know, be in good face with the quote timekeepers and, you know, get a reward for it? Or is it going to be the classic Loki where, you know, he just wants to team up with her and, you know, destroy the universe and take over everything?
Yeah, well, that's the thing with that. That is the classic Loki. You don't know what he's going to do next. You know, he's kind of, you never know which direction he's going to go towards.
I'm really looking forward to it continuing and we'll see where it goes.
Did you actually like read all the comics or read up about it on the internet? Like, what's your Marvel background?
Where you know, your
Marvel knowledge comes from?
My dad had a lot of the old comics, and you know, cool. I wasn't really into them. You know, I was really into the movies, and what I would do is watch the movies a few times because you're always missing something, you know, and every one of them, just like Rob said, you have to like look them over again. And there's even sometimes after that there's still some answers, you know, that you don't know. And yeah, you look up on the internet because you got to know, you want to know.
Right.
You know, just like I had it in my head in the first episode when Loki was being debriefed and he dropped down from the room above into the next room and they panned down to this cat. And it was like the camera's on a cat for like, you know, what, 5 seconds or so. So it was like, well, what was that about? You know, like your mind gets into like you try to break it down that much.
Is it that guy's cat, the one behind the desk? Is it a cat just hangs out around?
Is it another shapeshifter? You know, was that Lady Loki? You know, it gets your mind going. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Well, and they love doing that too. I mean, you know, Agatha all along type shit.
Absolutely.
They love hooking you with. So anything's possible.
Exactly.
But I think that's what we all love about it and hope that it continues because I got to say, you know, I don't stay up until midnight to watch any other shows. Like, you know, last night I was like, oh, got to stay up late tonight because new Loki.
So you watched it right away.
Oh, yeah. I got up at 6 a.m. every Friday to watch every episode of WandaVision because I knew if I got on my phone first, it wouldn't be as good.
Yeah.
So it was like I'm rushing to see it before I hear about.
Stay off Twitter if you're planning on watching a show because you'll definitely find out spoilers through that.
Yeah, no, I stayed off it for sure.
Don't stay off Twitter too much, though. We need likes on our page.
you always have them from me. You always have them for me, guys.
When is Loki too much Loki? I feel like this is a one-off. I don't think there's going to be a Loki season 2, 3, 4, 5. You know, I mean, what do you guys think?
I think there is. I had heard that there were talks of another season. So I don't know. Hey, there's never too much Loki for me.
That's true. That's true. We learned that tonight.
Frederick is loco for Loki.
Not enough Loki. I'll have a second child. Thank you.
Well, sir, it's been an honor and a privilege to have you on the show. Thank you for giving us so much time to chat.
Well, thank you very much, guys. You guys have a great evening.
Thanks, Frederick. Take care. I think he should take my spot. He was really good. I should be concerned.
You should be. You should be very concerned.
Rico in the Slack.
Rico in the Slack. You're listening to Rico in the Slack with Rob Dragler and Frederick Slack. I would have Loki's baby. Whoa.
Yeah, that was another thing. He's very candid about his feelings for Mr. Tom Hiddleston.
Very candid. I also wanted to talk to him about Guardians of the Galaxy, specifically James Gunn. Damn it. I wanted to talk. Oh, well. Anyway.
What's the James Gunn thing?
Just the fact that he's arguing with people on Twitter. I'm like, dude, if anybody needs to fucking stay off Twitter, it's you.
Yeah, no.
Like,
you're
what
lucky
the
you got,
fuck are you doing? Like, he's arguing with people like casting back. Choices on Guardians. Like, I'm like, dude, go, like, stop. What are you doing? Like, you literally got fired for being on Twitter and got rehired. That doesn't happen.
Yeah, he got a pass.
You got a pass. You are the only one who got a pass. What are you doing arguing and rolling around in the mud with fucking haters on Twitter? It's only going to get you in trouble. But that was what I was going to talk about with him. But
I was going to add to the Loki conversation. I think Owen Wilson is actually really good in this show too.
Would it hurt Owen Wilson to play a character? he's somebody else who's super lucky to be super likable. He's great. He's really good in the series, I have to say.
Well,
but he is short-haired Owen Wilson.
Right. But I think it helps that he pairs himself with fellow likable comedians in a lot of his movies. And that's all
it's
I'm going to say about that.
Time travel.
Ka-chow.
I haven't met the timekeepers either, but you might.
How is this Californian surfer dude the head of the whole fucking operation?
Exactly. Everyone in the TVA is like either little people or super old people, weird looking people. But then there's Owen Wilson from Drillbit Taylor. Loki, you're here to help me find the other Loki. And they're talky, talky, talky. It's like, I love it. I do. I love the chemistry between them. And then not the first time that they were on screen together. If you remember, there's that rapist who made a movie that I used to love called Midnight in Paris. Tom Hiddleston played F. Scott Fitzgerald and Owen Wilson played Owen Wilson.
Oh, you're F. Scott Fitzgerald and I'm in the back in time. This is amazing.
If I'm ever nerdy enough to go to a Comic-Con, I'm going as Owen Wilson as Mobius. I would like to go to a convention about James Caan, and it could be called Con.
Now that's a convention I would go to.
Dude, I got tickets to Con.
Which James Caan are you dressing up as? I'm going to dress as the one in Brian's song.
I'm going to dress up as the bitter older one.
If I dress up like him in Misery, can you roll me around in a bed the whole time?
Con. Brian's song. That's where you went. That's a deep cut, man.
That's right.
Wasn't that a TV movie?
Yeah, it was, but it was like a popular one.
Wow.
I like to think outside of the box.
You do. And that's why you're here.
That's why I'm here. Yep. That's why you pay me the big bucks.
That's why I pay you the big bucks. Lest anyone think that we don't make big bucks on the Rico and the Mad podcast, you have no idea. We're taking a G7 to Con. Poor fucking Ned Beatty died.
Yeah.
To be perfectly honest, thought he was already dead. But I'm still sad.
Well, you thought he was already dead. Mm-hmm. I thought he was a hell of a lot older than 83, because I feel like he was 83 in Superman.
I know.
He was just one of those actors.
Superman.
Right. He's just one of those actors that always like seemed a lot older to me, but apparently he wasn't. But yeah, he was just one of those actors. He wasn't like a major star, but he's one of those actors that you don't realize was in a lot of things.
a lot of needle moving movies to be
right.
Yeah, like big stuff. And he was so good at playing different characters. Like, you know, Otis and fucking Superman was a fucking moron.
Right.
You know, you go watch Network and you're like, did he feel like that entire role was beneath him? Because he should.
Yeah.
Like, he, you know, Gene Hackman got a lot to play with as Lex Luthor, but he was just an oaf. And I've always felt like bad for Ned Beatty. I'm like, they must have paid him a fucking ton of money to do that movie then. Because he had done so much by that point.
Yeah, I didn't realize how much drama he was in because I always kind of associated him more with the comedy stuff. But right. Yeah, he did a lot of drama stuff. Was he nominated for an Academy Award too? Or am I looking it up? Hold on.
While Pete looks it up, let's listen to. That's right. Don't miss Rob Zombie's The Munsters coming to a theater and streaming near you.
Will it be funny? Will it be scary? You'll have to tune in and find out. Network. He was nominated for Network.
Yeah. Should have assumed that.
Did you ever see Deliverance?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You're like, I lived Deliverance.
I was there. Deliverance is based off my life story.
Yeah, I saw Deliverance a while ago. I said, that's a movie that I'd like to see again.
I wouldn't call it a movie I'd like to see again, but it's a movie I definitely have to familiarize myself again with in the honor of Ned Beatty, because it was a tour de force, as some say, in getting raped. All right, I got to play it. So we have a tradition here on Rico and the Man. There, our way into celebrities is through a very lovely lady, but here is a brief clip of Ned Beatty talking about Deliverance in the most awkward way.
I remember one of the things I said to you, because everybody was talking about your famous nude, your backside nude. And I remember asking you if you had it to do over again. You'd said, no, I don't think I would do that scene.
Did I really?
Yeah.
That's an interesting answer. I don't know that. I think it was honest.
Okay, so Bobby Wygant, of course, interviewing Mr. Ned Beatty, talking about
getting down to the bottom of things.
Hey, look
thank
out.
You. Thank you.
So I love her so much. You talk about, go listen to episode 2 of this episode about YouTube holes, and you will fall into this because Pete was right. I can watch Bobby Wygant interview a fucking wall for 20 minutes. But this is her talking to Ned Beatty. I forget what the movie was, but I love that she's immediately dives into Deliverance and him being nude. The way she says it is, let me play it again.
I remember one of the things I said to you, because everybody was talking about your famous nude, your backside nude. And I remember asking you if you had it to do over again.
My favorite thing about this interview is not this clip, but the next one I'm about to play you, because I don't think Ned Beatty saw this question coming, because the way he dances around it with his pauses makes me laugh every time. This is him trying to answer the question about what she just said.
I think what I was thinking at the time, I don't feel that way about it any longer, but what I was thinking at the time was I was amazed at how people were affected by that, especially men. I mean, as an actor, one of the things you kind of learn to do is you try to learn not to judge the character that you're playing.
He's being very careful. Man.
He's trying. Listen to it again. I love the like we had to go. I'm talking about a new movie. We had to go down road, the Deliverance road, and he's trying so hard not to offend and all, but right. also like listen, like
I think. What I was thinking at the time, I don't feel that way about it any longer, but what I was thinking at the time was I was amazed at how people were affected by that, especially men. I mean, as an actor, one of the things you kind of learn to do is you don't, You're trying to learn not to judge the character that you're playing.
A lot of pauses.
Oh, I love him though.
He was being careful even before cancel culture was a thing.
Yep.
Did you hear the Hollywood Reporter got shit though for their headline when he died?
No.
They said something like Ned Beatty, who made quite the impression in Deliverance, has died at the age of 83, and everyone was like, really?
that's the hill he's gonna die on?
Yeah.
His ass?
Yeah. But it's the Hollywood Reporter too. It's not like the fucking National Enquirer or some like jokey thing.
It's just being stupid. Like, why would you say that? Like, couldn't you just say prolific actor?
Right.
That's still not a compliment.
Or Ned Beatty, star of Deliverance and Network, has died at the age of 83. Like, don't be like...
Easy enough.
Ned Beatty, that got his asshole gaped wide open in Deliverance, has died at the age of 83.
Seriously, Ned Beatty, the man who spread the cheeks and let him be entered by another man, dies.
Who got bent over a tree and got railed like
Ned Beatty, who got railed like the slut that he is, dies at 83.
Fat bastard, Ned Beatty. I'm reading right now that the editor-in-chief of Hollywood Reporter is actually Frederick Slack. What? Oh! We've just been Slack attacked. And then the next article is actually Beautiful Tom Hiddleston Shines in Loki Series.
Ah, there you go.
There you go. That's definitely Frederick Slack.
That's
all right.
Frederick Slack, ladies and gentlemen. You heard it here. But before I get off the Bobby Wygant train, I do have one more clip that I thought this was hilarious because, you know, she always has these pre-rolls and post-rolls of her sitting there.
Yes.
For the Ned Beatty one, the pickups are hilarious because they decided to do all her questions when he left.
Oh, and doing like the cutaway shots of her just kind of nodding along.
This is her immediately after the Ned Beatty interview.
What do you think about that? Do you try to see every movie? Now I'll just give you silent reactions. Okay. Thank
you. I love it. I love how professional and how passionate she is about her job. Yeah, she's great.
Professional. Such a professional.
Did you see the Howard Stern interview with her?
No.
For Private Parts?
I've seen the Jackie and Fred interview. I didn't know she got to interview Howard.
Yeah. Yeah, she did. And you should watch it because Howard Stern gets kind of raunchy. Like, a little bit raunchy.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. You're telling me Howard Stern gets raunchy in this? In the 90s? In the mid-90s?
Well, it's just funny to see, you know,
him with Bobby Wygant.
Yeah, our innocent Bobby Wygant.
It's weird with to see him with our grandmother, Bobby Wygant.
Yeah.
I gotta watch it.
Oh, dude, I thought you looked that up when you saw the Bobby, when you saw
no,
the
No, I didn't.
And,
so that's
Jackie
what you were
thing.
Talking about.
Yeah.
Well, we weren't on the same wavelength.
I know.
Good night, Pete.
I guess it's over.
I guess it's over. The Rico and the Man Show, 8 episodes in.
Have broken up. They interview me afterwards, and I was like, everything was going great until Frederick Slack showed up.
Frederick Slack is the Yoko Ono of our times. Yeah,
that's what I was going to say. Yoko Slack over there.
No, Frederick Slack does not break anyone apart. He only brings everyone closer together. Okay.
Yeah, seriously. He should be president.
He really should. Honestly, Frederick Slack for president. I said it right here on the show. Everyone, let's start a campaign. Let's start a revolution.
I will not slack in what's doing best for the United States of America.
Yeah. It's about time you get cut some slack.
There you go.
There it is.
Yeah. Now we're cooking. We'll be his campaign managers.
Fuck yeah. In his first order of business, President Frederick Slack signed into order a real TVA.
Mr. President, how are we going to do this?
How are we doing this?
Don't worry. The timekeepers will take care of everything.
They're like, worry. Who? Yeah. Who, Mr. Slack? Well, I'm not sure if they're real yet.
They may be lizard people. They may not be.
We made a terrible mistake. Okay.
There's so much going through my head right now.
It's that time where everybody gets off the rails.
Off the rails.
It's off the rails.
My first order of business will be no more Black Panther movies. Thank you. They're like, what's your second order of business?
No Ant-Man and the Wasp. Hey, I hate going back to Loki, but I have to say, something that happens in every movie about the future, every TV show about the future, and I was hoping they'd do it different, but they didn't. There's a scene in the second episode of Loki where they go to, what was it, 2050? Mm-hmm. And they go to a mall or that Walmart type place.
Yeah.
And there's a hologram outside, and the guy has a name tag that's scrolling like Back to the Future.
Yeah, too. I noticed that. Randy.
Yeah, Randy. Name tags are never going to change. No one's ever going to spend money to make a name tag scroll.
On that. Yeah.
So stop doing that old future hacky thing where you say, you know, like in the future, everything's got to be electric. No, guess what? Guess what? Like, you know, there's still people driving fucking Camaros from the 80s. Like, not every car on the fucking street is going to be a brand new flying car.
Well, a lot of things are going retro now, so I feel like we're digressing a little bit with our fashion styles and what the kids are into these days.
That's the thing, is everyone always says Hollywood's out of ideas. Hollywood's out of ideas. No, the world is out of ideas.
Yeah, no. It's true.
Even Apple can't come up with something cool anymore.
Yeah, I know. It's scary.
Don't miss Rob Zombie's The Munsters coming out soon.
Going back to the future thing, not the movie, back to the actual, what we're talking about, the future.
The real future?
I feel like we're going to have to rely on these like billionaires like Jeff Bezos and stuff to kind of like push the envelope, like as far as coming up with something new and trying to invent something. Like, they're going to fucking space now.
I know.
And it's like,
I loved Dick Tracy. I loved growing up, the movie Dick Tracy with Warren Beatty. You know, it was in the same vein of the original Batman.
Right.
You know, scored by Danny Elfman. Had that same kind of otherworldly feel. I had the bed sheets, the whole thing. And I always said to myself, I was like, so fucking cool that Dick Tracy can talk to people on his watch.
I'm on my way.
Yeah. I was like, that's the coolest thing in the world. I wish that really existed. And guess what? I'm on my third Apple Watch, and anytime that fucker rings, I hit ignore immediately.
We just become jaded, and the stuff we thought was cool as kids are now just everyday items.
Yeah.
Which is sad.
It is sad.
It's scary. Play it. It took you so long.
I think it was waiting for you to go, play it. I think that's what took me so long. I was waiting for you to ask for it. It is a good theme.
I love that theme.
And they probably won't even use it in the Rob Zombie fucking movie.
When you mentioned that, that's what I was thinking. Like, how are they going to... They have to use that theme in some capacity.
No, it's going to be fucking...
Do like a whole rock, heavy metal, grunge version.
Yeah, this is what it's going to be.
Yeah. Marilyn Manson sings it.
Oh,
Yeah, I'm not excited about the Rob Zombie monsters at all. No. I'm a huge Halloween fan. And, you know, I was like, I'm not that interested in what Rob Zombie's doing with it.
Yeah.
But after I saw Halloween 1 and 2, I was very uninterested in what he did with it, to the point where I renounced those movies like they don't exist.
I actually saw the first one he did, or parts of it. I didn't think it was too bad, but I never saw the whole thing through, so I can't really give an honest opinion.
Well, the thing with Halloween that I always loved is that you never really got a good sense of Michael Myers. You just knew that he was this fucked up kid. You only saw it through his eyes. And when he came back, he was a man and he already had a mask. So you never really saw his face. He was this, I don't know, this mysterious being, this mysterious being that was scary. And I felt that the whole Rob Zombie movie was like, let's make him a character that has this mental illness bullshit upbringing, and we see a lot of his, you know, your little blonde hair.
He kills
kid.
Danny Trejos in the hospital.
Right. I don't know. I can't stomach a lot of his movies. People are like, you got to see House of a Thousand Corpses. And I sit there and I'm like, this is A, not good movie making, but also disgusting and not enjoyably disgusting even.
Right.
But no, whatever. Go make a violent Rob Zombie version of the monsters, because just the monster's name alone, it's going to be
ka-ching, ka-ching.
I bit my tongue the entire show before playing that. Trust me. I know you're not a fan.
Why am I not a fan?
You're very vocal about cutting that segment out of our last episode.
What segment was that?
We're ending the Cruella segment, and you were talking about asses in the seats and how, you know, they get enough asses in the seats, and it's
ka-ching, ka-ching.
I think it's one of the funniest things I've ever heard.
I sound like an old grandma or something like
it's
that.
The second ching that I think is just brilliant.
Ka-ching, ka-ching.
It's a question. There's a question mark at the end of it. That's what I love.
Hi, how can I help you? Ka-ching, ka-ching.
Are you a customer of ours, or do you need to open a new account?
Ka-ching, ka-ching.
All right. I think it's time to call it.
All right.
I want to thank Frederick Slack for calling in. That was awesome.
He was great. We definitely have to have him back on.
Thank you, Mr. Peter Martino. And we will see you guys next week.
If I was a woman, I would definitely want to have Loki's baby.